Sports Bettors, Circa Sports now presents Palm Saturdays with Circa's Vice President of Operations, Mike Palm. Live from Bar Canada at the D from downtown Las Vegas, here on 104.3 The Score, and watch live on YouTube and Twitch, featuring the latest and the greatest of the sports betting landscape from coast to coast, along with some great guests. Here he is, Mike Palm.
Good Saturday morning to everybody, and it's another edition of Palm Saturdays here from Bar Canada at the D. What a beautiful Saturday it is. We're sweating out Middleborough, Bristol City, under 2.5 here on the big screen. And it's a beautiful 60 degrees outside in Las Vegas, Nevada this morning at 6 a.m. I'm very refreshed by 60 degrees because I was in Iowa all week, and I had 22 degrees and wind blowing sideways at about 60 miles an hour the last couple days. So was there, did some work with our affiliates there in Iowa, and got to see my mom as well in Dubuque. So it was a nice trip. Flew back, Allegiant. The flight left 20 minutes early. We got here 40 minutes early, which was great because I was able to get to the overhang bar at Circa in time for the huddle up they had for the Blackhawks Golden Knights game tonight. And it was a Blackhawks alumni reunion as of sorts. So we got to hang out with Eddie Olczyk and Jeremy Roenick. Pat Foley was there, and then went down and had a very late, I will say, dinner at Barry's last night. It was so late that many were able to order meat because they didn't get the entrees till almost 10, so it was technically midnight Chicago time, so they were absolved from the meat fasting on a Friday. Eddie O said he's still on Italy time, so it didn't matter for him. But that was a terrific dinner, and we hope there's a great game tonight between the Blackhawks and the Golden Knights. I met a couple young ladies from that work for Tempo Meals, which is a division of Home Chef, which is under the Kroger umbrella, and Mary Cirillo, maiden name Nelson, said her mother's been a longtime caller to shows on The Score, so I think in 2 weeks we'll start taking calls on this show. Everybody knows we're now on live in Chicago from 8 to 9 a.m. every Saturday morning. We'll take you right up to inside the clubhouse with David Haw and Bruce Levine. Amal Shaw will be our guest today. He's going to break down the semifinals in the Big Ten tournament coming up just a little later. I guess noon will be the first tip central time. Also the semifinals in the SEC today, and we've got conference championship games in the ACC and a hell of a tournament in the Big 12 as well. If you can get over looking at that floor, it's been great basketball there in Kansas City. So let's talk a little bit of NFL, though, to kick off the show. And since we last talked, what's happened? Well, when we last talked last Saturday morning, I was a bit surprised that Max Crosby was heading to Baltimore to be a Raven. They had given up 2 first-round draft picks to get him, and then we hear the news, oh, no, he's not going to Baltimore because he failed the physical. Well, maybe. Maybe he failed the physical, or maybe the Ravens saw that in the open market they didn't have to pay that much for Max Crosby. Let's be honest, 8 surgeries in 7 seasons. Did anybody not know this was coming? And for those in Chicago who said now the Bears should reengage, the price on Crosby has dropped. I feel if you thought before he signed but they made the trade with Baltimore that the Bears should go after Max Crosby, then they still should. If you feel they shouldn't, then you should still feel they shouldn't. What's changed that would change your opinion on how much they would have to give up? We hear that the Bears also offered 2 first-round picks in trying to get that trade done with the Raiders. The big news in the NFL outside of that this week, and we knew Kyler Murray was going to be released by the Cardinals, was that he did sign with the Vikings. Now, I've told you all along, the Vikings were going to go out and get a veteran quarterback, and they would make him the day one starter. They really wanted Mac Jones, and they tried to get a deal done with the 49ers. They couldn't get the deal done. They had a week's notice that Murray was going to get released, so they had to make their plan. They were going to interview him, work him out, and then make a decision. Well, they liked what they saw, and the Vikings were able to sign Kyler Murray. And as it turns out, growing up in Texas, he's been a lifelong Vikings fan. Let's hear that sound.
How far back does your Vikings fandom or your knowledge or interest in this organization go?
Ever since I started playing tackle football, I was 7 years old. I was 7 years old. Genuine fandom. Ran deep Vikings gear through and through. A lot of purple in my household. I don't want to bring it up right now, but maybe later another day. It was a moment. I'll bring it up anyways. Whatever. I cried real tears whenever you know, whenever Brett threw that interception. I cried real tears that day.
I cry real tears when I listen to Paul Allen's call of that interception in the Superdome in the NFC Championship game. Can we go back and take a listen to that?
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40. And John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line. You've got to be kidding me. I can't believe what I just saw.
Looking at that play, he should have just held on to it, Paul. He should have. He could have easily gotten 5 or 6 yards if he would have just pulled that thing down and dove forward.
But why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
This is not Detroit, man. What a great call by our friend Paul Allen. So the Vikings get to pay Kyler Murray $1.3 million this year. That's the league minimum for a veteran because the Cardinals have to pick up the other $36 million. So what a steal to get Kyler Murray. I mean, that's absolutely incredible. Now, what the Vikings are going to do here is if he has a good year, they're going to tag him so that they can even get him long-term or, you know, he can force a move for big money somewhere else. But I think this is a heck of a pickup. Now, KOC is going to have to redesign his offense a bit to suit Kyler Murray's strengths. O'Connell has preferred everywhere he's went that big, tall, pocket-style passer. That's not Kyler Murray. But they made this decision that they were going to go in this direction. Here is the key thing from a betting perspective, folks. Try to find when they open this market who will take the first snap for the Vikings this year. Because Kevin O'Connell has come out and said, well, now we're going to have an open competition with J.J. McCarthy and Kyler. That is absolutely head coach spin. There's no open competition. Kyler Murray would not have signed with the Vikings if they didn't guarantee him the starting job week one. The Vikings made this mistake the year before. The mistake was not re-signing Sam Darnold or failing to do so. The mistake was that they didn't promise Daniel Jones the starting job because they were still high on McCarthy. And Daniel Jones went and the Colts said, we're going to give you $14 million a year and the starting job. He went back to Minnesota. He went back to Minnesota and said, I'll take 14 here if you promise me the starting job. And O'Connell said, I can't do that. And Daniel Jones went, and he had the year that he had before he got hurt with the Colts. So they knew they had a promise, whoever they brought in the starting job. And that's absolutely true. I would lay up to $4 on this bet if this comes out in the market. Maybe the price is going to be $1.80 or $2 in favor of Murray, maybe $2.50. I think that's a steal. All you're betting is that Kyler Murray doesn't get hurt in camp or in preseason, if he even plays in preseason, leading up to week one. So I think that's tremendous betting information. The Vikings are still looking to sign another veteran heading into camp. I'm hearing Zach Wilson is who they are talking to right now. All right, let's talk a little college basketball from a macro perspective. And the topic of debate the last few weeks has been Miami of Ohio, as they were 25-0, and then they were 28-0, and then they got to 30-0. And if there was some way that they would lose in the conference tournament, would they be left out? And, of course, Bruce Pearl said, yes, they'll be left out. And, of course, his son now coaches Auburn. He's the former Auburn coach. That's the comparison. I asked my guys in the risk room here at Circa, if Auburn and Miami of Ohio played in Dayton in those play-in games on Tuesday or Wednesday, what would the number be? They said Auburn, 4.5 or 5, and I believe that. Well, Miami of Ohio doesn't even get to the conference final. They get knocked out in their conference quarterfinal. And so now at 31-1, what's going to happen to this team? Are they going to be in or not? Well, we'll find out tomorrow afternoon on Selection Sunday. I'm not betting it, but I would bet no, that they don't get in. Their strength of schedule is in the 290s. They don't have quad one wins. They beat Akron. I guess that's the best team they played. Their out-of-conference scheduling was so weak. I don't know who they beat, Downers Grove. I mean, it's like they beat some high school teams. The teams that you've never – they don't even have insignias on the ESPN app, right? It's just the gray, those teams. They're like the soccer teams that play twice a year to get in some competition in their country. I mean, this is the type of teams they played. And they played close games. I mean, the strength of their victories is not necessarily dominant either. Their net ranking, I think, is 64th. Well, you know, you get 68 teams, but 32 are automatic bids. So really, once you get beyond 30 or 35 in the net rankings, it gets very dicey. So the shame of this is, and people say, well, they went undefeated in the regular season. That should mean more than the conference tournament. You're darn right it should, except that's not the way college basketball works. It's the conference tournament champion that's crowned champion of the league and gets the automatic bid. It made me think of last weekend. The LSU women got knocked out by South Carolina in the SEC Women's Tournament semifinals. And Kim Mulkey had some thoughts on playing conference tournaments. Why do they play them? Should we still have conference tournaments? Let's take a listen to Kim.
So my viewpoint has always been, what's the purpose of conference tournaments? For the Cinderellas? How many Cinderellas do you really have in women's basketball? Is it... Some of them need just one more win. They're on the bubble. I don't know. But I know that throughout my career, I have always wanted to go from the regular season conference to postseason. I've always said the regular season means much more than a conference tournament championship.
You know, I hear her, and people say in response, well, she wasn't complaining when she was winning three straight SEC tournament titles, or she was dominating the Big 12 when she was at Baylor. I think more and more what she says is true. First, let's look at the comment she made about there are really no Cinderellas in the women's game. I went back and did some research on this, and I've been a women's basketball fan since the early days of Pat Summitt in Tennessee. I don't really remember the Cheryl Miller USC teams, but I followed women's basketball probably from the mid-'80s on. In the history of the NCAA women's tournament, 82% of the participants in the Final Fours are one or two seeds. I believe there's only been five times that a seed lower than a four has made the Final Four. There's been a nine, an eight, a six. It's just so very, very rare. What you see in the women's tournament every year is the regionals are one, two, three, four, one, you know, two, six, four, one. It's just there's very little upsets. You don't get anybody beyond that eight line really gets even to the Sweet 16. So I think she has a valid point there. Then from the other perspective, for these teams that are in, you really just don't want to get hurt. I mean, you look at that game last night in Kansas City. It might be the best game I saw all year. Iowa State and Arizona. Iowa State, those kids had revenge on their mind. They probably played one of their worst games of the year at the McHale Center earlier this month, and they were out of it. That was a big Monday game. They were never really in that game. What a tremendous game it was last night. For Arizona, and I know a lot of Arizona fans and graduates, they didn't care if they lost that game. They're going to be a one seed. Don't get anybody hurt, right? So if teams trying to not get anybody hurt, Iowa State's in as well. They had motivation off a loss. I'm not sure. It's great for TV because you get these Cinderella stories in the small conferences. You have these teams that, you know, that win four or five games in the course of a weekend and come out of nowhere. That the one team won five games, yet they were never more than a 7-point dog, and the average being a 3.5-point dog. But Georgia Southern, I think they were 300-1 to win the tournament. How's that possible when they were average being a 3-point dog in those games? I mean, maybe that was a little bit long as well. So, is it time for college basketball to take a look at how the auto qualifier is done? Should it be a regular season champ? Should it be if a team goes undefeated in the regular season? It's an exception. And they don't have to win that conference tournament. Or they get an automatic bid, maybe. But I think we're too far down the road of what these TV ratings are in these conference tournaments. I mean, even here in Vegas, we get some small conference tournaments the last weekend. And then this week, I mean, it's a tremendous time for a better. And it's obviously great for TV because you have four or five stations that can go wall-to-wall coverage all day long for 10, 12 hours on Wednesday and Thursday of this week. And people are tuning in because they're interested in what's going on. All right, a couple thoughts about these conference tournaments and what they might possibly mean for the NCAA. And then we'll have Amal Shaw come up and break down the games today. And in the final segment, we'll talk best bets both in hockey and college basketball today. Purdue. I ended up taking, and I don't like Purdue. I don't like Matt Painter. I don't think they'll ever win a title with Painter. They had that run where every year they'd lose the 4-13 game and all that. They were the preseason number one in college basketball this year. They're the seventh seed in the Big Ten tournament. Well, something's got to give between those two things. I had to take a shot at plus 650 that they would win the tournament. Two reasons. Is they were the preseason number one, and they got a 7 seed. But also they're on that side of the bracket that you can avoid Michigan, which I think was so important. You did, you know, to be on that 2-3-6-7 line gives yourself such a good opportunity there. And now they're favored, and they'll probably meet Michigan in the final. But at that point, you can monetize the ticket. And I will continue to talk about this in terms of betting, folks. We make future bets to set up ourselves to monetize the ticket. And, you know, hedging became a dirty word. Oh, you're giving up value. You don't have courage if you hedge your bets. How can you? I disagree with that, but I coined the term, and the professor from Rider wrote about it. I coined the term monetization. You monetize your positions. You better believe if Purdue wins today and they're in the final against Michigan or not, I'm going to make money on this ticket at plus 650. That's why we do these things, because it's a heck of a lot of fun and because we're going to make money overall on the bet. Remember, you can never go broke taking a profit. All right, up next, we're going to talk to the great Amal Shaw. He's going to break down the Big Ten and much, much more. It's Palm Saturdays on 104.3 The Score.
We're back with more Palm Saturdays, starring Circa's Vice President of Operations, Mike Palm, live from Bar Canada at the D from downtown Las Vegas. Presented by Circa Sports. Sports betting the way it should be, with no bet fees, on 104.3 The Score.
Welcome back into Palm Saturdays here on The Score, live from Bar Canada in downtown Las Vegas. And we wanted to break down all the conference semifinals and finals today, and I couldn't think of a better person to do so than my friend Amal Shaw. Spent 19 months doing a daily show with Amal on VSiN, and I learned a lot about handicapping college basketball from him. So thanks for getting up early, coming to us on the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline. It's my friend Amal. Good morning, Amal.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
I'm great and better because you're on the show this morning. All right, let's start in the Big Ten, the first semifinal game. It's going to tip at noon on CBS, noon Central Time. Wisconsin-Michigan. Remember, Wisconsin shocked the world, went up to Chrysler Arena and beat the Wolverines earlier this year. Michigan laying 12 in this game at Circa. The total's 161, Amal.
Yeah, I would look at Wisconsin here despite the fact that they shot out of their mind in the second half at Chrysler in that game. They were around 46% in that game, a total from the three-point line. I don't think they duplicate that, but, man, 12.5 seems very high to me. I like Wisconsin on the points here. I still think the Wolverines move on, but I would look at Wisconsin here plus 12.5.
I was just telling the viewers and listeners that I had to take a shot on Purdue, even though I hate Purdue and Matt Painter. I don't hate them. I just don't like betting on them. They never produce in March, and they had so many disappointments. But they were the preseason number one, Amal, and the 7th seed in the Big Ten tournament. Things have broke pretty well for me. UCLA upsets Michigan State, and Purdue gets UCLA in the second semifinal. The Boilermakers, the 7th seed, are a 7.5-point favorite with a total of 147.5 against Mick Cronin's bunch.
Yeah, Tyler Bilodeau, UCLA's main stud in terms of on the interior and exterior in terms of what he can do. Great free throw shooter. I mean, their leading scorer. This is a huge blow for them. You'll see the impact. He got hurt late in the first half last night against Michigan State. By the way, speaking of which, I thought Michigan State's been overrated all year long. Bruins take you control that game early and never relinquished it. I think this would be a different challenge and a revenge spot here for Purdue. UCLA got beat by Purdue earlier this year at Pauley Pavilion late in the game. I don't remember if it was a buzzer beater, but it was somewhere around there. It was close at the end. UCLA won that game. I think it's going to be a tall task here for UCLA. I would actually look towards the under in this game between these two teams.
I think UCLA was down 6 with 1.5 to go in that game and stole that one from the Boilermakers. The Florida Gators, Amal, have won 12 in a row heading into this game. There's been nobody hotter since the end of January. I think they've locked up the fourth number one seed. They'll take on Vandy, who overcame Tennessee yesterday. The Gators laying 8.5 with a total of 160.5.
Yeah, I think this would be a tough ask of Vanderbilt after an emotional game against a rival in-state in terms of playing the Volunteers. You know, you think about that. They played Tennessee 3 times in their last 6 games and, you know, beat them twice. But I think the way the Gators are playing right now, they're going to be tough to beat. But the 8.5 is not something I'm going to mess with. I don't know which way to go in this one. I'm going to stay off of this game, but, man, Florida is playing extremely well.
Our friend Mitch Moss was in the Derek and I's Invitational, and I think he had the 8th or the 9th pick, and he took Arkansas at 45-1. Ole Miss upsets Alabama yesterday, so now Arkansas gets to take on the 15 seed. They're a 9.5-point favorite. Perhaps if they can get to the SEC title game, they can get a 3 seed in the tournament. Here, 9.5 and 158.5 against the Rebels.
Yeah, I mean, this Ole Miss team has just been incredible. They have not trailed at a single point in this tournament. It's incredible what they've been able to accomplish. Held off Alabama in that game. Look, I think it'll be tough for Ole Miss to win this game, but John Calipari showed me last night he still hasn't learned about fouling up by 3 since the national championship loss by Memphis against Kansas. You know, Nigel Pack got a great look at a 3-pointer for Oklahoma last night. He just missed it late in the game with about 5 seconds remaining to tie it up. I think the number's a little bit high here, but I know a lot of people want to go against Ole Miss simply because they're playing their 4th game in 4 days. You know, we saw years ago Georgia have a similar run, and now this is the first time since Auburn, I think in 2015, we've seen a team in this far at the bottom of the seedings make it to the semifinals.
That's exactly right. First time since Auburn in 15 that a team has won the first 3 days of the SEC tournament. I thought that Arizona-Iowa State game might have been the best game I saw all year yesterday. You could tell how much the Cyclones wanted it. They played very well. Arizona somehow overcame them. This team does have grit. And now they get a rematch with Houston. They won earlier in the year in the Fertitta Center. I think they held Houston to 1 field goal in a 9-minute stretch in the second half and pulling away in that game. Arizona, a 2.5-point favorite today against Calvin Sampson's Houston Cougars, and the total 137.5 of them all.
Yeah, I'm not playing it, but I would look at Houston here. And the reason is, and you mentioned, I thought that game last night between Arizona and Iowa State was one of the best games I've seen in a long, long time. By far the best game this year. It wasn't that somebody lost. It was that Arizona won it. Both teams were making clutch shots down the stretch. It was unbelievable. I think it's going to be a little bit of a challenge emotionally. And then on the flip side, Houston played in the ideal type of game when you have to turn around and play less than 24 hours later against Kansas. They dominated them. They held KU for about almost nearly 10 minutes without a field goal in the second half. I mean, Kansas got their 4th point with around 11 minutes and 20 seconds remaining in the second half. I mean, Houston just dominated them. I think this is going to be a tough task here for Arizona just based on the way the game played out yesterday. But they're definitely capable of winning this game easily.
All right, UConn and St. John's will meet in the Big East Final for the 3rd time this year. Remember the last meeting in Connecticut, St. John's missed 24 consecutive field goal attempts. St. John's beat UConn at Madison Square Garden in the first meeting. UConn is a 3-point favorite this afternoon, Amal, with a total of 140.5.
Yeah, remember UConn embarrassed St. John's in Connecticut a couple of weeks ago, beat them by 30-plus points. I think St. John's will have a much better effort here. I'm going to stay away from this game, but the Garden will be rocking in favor of St. John's. I think this game could go either way.
Virginia takes on Duke in the ACC title game. Duke, 8.5 and 137.5 of them all.
The number seems high. Virginia got embarrassed by Duke a couple of weeks ago at Cameron by 26 points. I think UVA plays much, much better. They had a nice performance last night against Miami. They got a 15-point lead in the final 4 minutes of the first half. Never even allowed Miami to come close to getting back in that game. It was just a dominant performance. I think they played much better. And Duke, with a couple of injuries, including Caleb Foster, probably their best 3-point shooter, continues to be out. So this is a great opportunity if you're Virginia here. I look at Virginia, the points in this game, plus 8.5. Odom, you know, nobody's talking about it, Mike, but this team is 29-4. They've had a great season.
Yeah, I watched one of their losses when they lost at home to Carolina, a fully healthy Carolina team early in the year. I played that game at Cameron. I think I had got 12 with Virginia because it was Duke coming off beating Michigan, and I thought they would be flat in that spot, and I never had a prayer catching 12. They just absolutely dominated them. If St. Louis doesn't win the A-10, do they make the tournament at all?
In my opinion, they should. I think they're a very good team. I like way the matchup today sets up against Dayton. You know, yesterday, St. Louis was down by 21 against GW. They come back and win that game, almost cover. They end up winning by 7. It was a 7.5-point spread last night. I don't like Anthony Grant's team this year. They're not the same. I think Dayton comes out and plays well early in this game, and they get it done against the Flyers here. But I think the Billikens definitely deserve to get in. Look, I understand the argument teams play in certain conferences, but you know what? If St. Louis was playing in place of some of these bottom feeders in the SEC, the Big Ten, how are they any different than UCF? UCF scores 100, they win at BYU, and they're great. And then there's other times they can't even beat anybody, and it's a similar situation with St. Louis. I don't think it would be that much different.
Do you think Miami of Ohio will get in?
I do, because if they don't, I think it really kind of signaled the decline of college basketball and how we view teams and scheduling and everything like that. I understand Miami didn't play anybody, but at the same time, some of these conference teams won't schedule opponents like this. So it's very difficult. I think you have to put them in. And here's the thing, Mike. What are we arguing about? Auburn? Like, who sits there and remembers who finished 16th in Miss America? Nobody does. Nobody cares. Look, the bottom line is all these teams like Auburn and these teams that argue that they should be in, you've had plenty of time to get in. You're just not that good.
A couple smaller conference tournament finals. Here in Las Vegas, a Mountain West, San Diego State takes on top seed Utah State. Utah State, a 1.5-point favorite, Amal.
Yeah, I like Utah State here, but I also like the under. It already came down on the overnight from 146.5 to 144.5. This conference tournament game, for whatever reason, you go back to 2018 was the last time it went over the total. This has been incredible how many times this game stays under. These games tend to be kind of as like people like to say, a rock fight. By the way, people use that analogy all the time. How many rock fights have people been in?
David and Goliath was the last one that I remember. Ben Wilson was our guest last week. He's going to call the final WAC championship game ever, as that league will dissolve. Utah Valley, the one seed, had not yet paid their fee to leave the league of $100,000, and the WAC said if you don't pay, you can't play in the conference tournament. They paid with 30 minutes to spare the other day. They made it to the finals. They take on Cal Baptist. Utah Valley, a 1.5-point favorite here, Amal, 138.5.
Yeah, this is the third time these two teams are meeting. They split the regular season. In particular, in this matchup, I give CBU an advantage here. I think they're a really good team. They kind of fell off a little bit during conference play, but then a nice win last night, came from behind, playing well down the stretch here. Utah Valley's obviously had a very good season. They're playing even better coming in. They won 7 in a row, but I'm looking at CBU. I have not bet this game myself. I'm going to stay off of it, but I think Cal Baptist comes through.
Even more ludicrous than Tim Murray pretending he went to Notre Dame is that he now thinks he's a University of Hawaii alum. They take on UC Irvine in the Big West Championship game tonight. UC Irvine, the Anteaters, a 2.5-point favorite, 138.5 them all.
Yeah, I tell you what, if Hawaii could shoot the free throws like they did last night, I think they were 25 for 26. They've got a great shot in this one. Irvine's had a very good season. They're playing extremely well. It's on the defensive side of the ball that they really create some problems. It's going to be a challenge here for the Warriors. I like this game actually to stay under the 138. I don't think Hawaii, unfortunately, gets it done. It'd be nice to see them get into the tournament, but I think the Anteaters, once again, come out of the Big West.
Let's talk a little women's tennis here and everyday tennis better. Tomorrow, the big Belarusian, who just got engaged to that arms dealer, is going to take on Rybakina. Any thoughts on the matchup?
Yeah, this could be a tough one. Sabalenka has one loss so far this year, and that was against Rybakina in the Australian Open final. She's only lost two sets. I believe she's played 17 matches or 18 matches. She's 16-1 or 17-1, and has only dropped two sets the entire year. It's insane. She's at a fairly inexpensive price. I think she gets the revenge here, Sabalenka does, and wins at Indian Wells.
You know, in the men's side in the Australian Open, you saw those two semifinals where Sinner and Alcaraz were -$9 and -$7 respectively, and both got taken to the wall in those matches. Is the field at all catching up to those two, or is it still just those two and the rest are irrelevant?
No, I don't even know who the rest of these stiffs are that are stealing money in tennis anymore. It's, you know, Medvedev's had a nice resurgence so far this year, but the reality of it is Zverev mentally doesn't think he can beat these guys just based on the way his body language indicates. You know, look, we've got the four best men's players in this semifinals here at Indian Wells, Sinner and Zverev, and I think Sinner emerges victorious. Alcaraz will have a little bit of a harder time here with Medvedev, but it's a slower court, so I think that favors Alcaraz. But the men's side, unfortunately, the rest of these guys, like on the American side, are just terrible. I mean, I know Taylor Fritz won at Indian Wells with Rafael Nadal basically being a wounded warrior out there. That's the only reason he won that. I mean, guys like Francis Tiafoe and Sebastian Korda, my God, they are just absolute garbage.
Yeah, I think Peter Korda could beat his son right now. I have to ask you this question. Sasha Zverev, has there ever been a person who was the third best at anything in the world who's more irrelevant?
No, there hasn't. That's a great statement by you. You know, here's the thing, though. When you're playing a clay quarter like Dominic Thiem after Novak Djokovic, you know, takes himself out of the tournament for getting disqualified for hitting a person with a ball, you're serving for the U.S. Open title against Dominic Thiem on hard court, and you can't serve it out, that's going to be the highlight of his career, a missed Grand Slam opportunity at the U.S. Open. I just don't think with Sinner and Alcaraz, if they're healthy, Zverev come anything better than maybe to reach a final if things break his way.
All right, I'll take you out with this, Amal. Baseball right around the corner. Of course, we're enjoying the World Baseball Classic. Do you have any future bets in Major League Baseball this season? Any team you like or any team you really like to go under?
No, I haven't gotten into baseball just yet. I will shortly, but I will tell you this. People should bet run lines. I know people will be afraid in certain games where they lose, you know, and they make a bet on the run line, they win 4-3. But the odds, Mike, when you take a team at -110, -115, then all of a sudden you take a -1.5 at +175, are just astronomically favorable. So that's the one thing I would suggest. I'll get into baseball as soon as we get through the first weekend of the NCAA tournament.
Start out with looking at the Astros. I really like under 85.5. That's the great Amal Shah. Everyone, Amal, thanks for getting up with us early out here in Las Vegas for Palm Saturdays on The Score. And when we come back, I'll give you my best bets for the day in both college basketball and the NHL.
We're back with more Palm Saturdays, starring Circa's Vice President of Operations, Mike Palm, live from Bar Canada at the D from downtown Las Vegas. Presented by Circa Sports. Sports betting the way it should be, with no bet fees, on 104.3 The Score.
Welcome back into Palm Saturdays, live from Bar Canada, beautiful Bar Canada. 63 degrees outside right now in Las Vegas, and a beautiful morning in Chicago as well. We're with you right up to the end of the hour. We'll take you into Inside the Clubhouse with David Haugh and Bruce Levine. And at 10:30 this morning, mark it down, they are going to speak with Matthew Boyd, who will be the opening day starter for the Cubs. All right, let's get into best bets. We've got a great card in college basketball today with these conference finals and semifinals, and a big card in the NHL as well. Let's start in the Big Ten. I have plays on both these games today. I'm going to take the Badgers +12 against Michigan. They're not scared of Michigan. As we talked about, they won at Chrysler earlier in the year. I don't know that there's a team that has a higher ceiling for where they're rated than the Badgers. They can play at such an extremely high level. Especially when they shoot the ball the way they did yesterday in that comeback and win over a great Illinois team that just cannot defend for 40 minutes. And then yesterday they had to try to defend for 45, and it didn't work out. And in the second game, let's take the points as well. And you say, oh, is this a hedge to your Purdue bet? No, but I think Mick Cronin's UCLA team is playing really well. So I'm going to take 7.5. I made the number on this game myself, 4. Now, I'll be up front. My college basketball number is probably not as sharp as some of the other sports. But I thought this game would be 4 or 4.5. I know UCLA has the injury, but I still think Cronin's team is really motivated on this run to lock up a tournament spot. And he sort of flipped the switch with them when they came back home and ambushed Nebraska in that game. So we'll take the points. I think it's just a bridge too far there. 8.5 seems about right. Florida and Vanderbilt, I'm going to take a pass on that game. If anything, I might lean over 160.5, but no play there. How tired is Ole Miss after winning 3 games in 3 days? But wire to wire, as Amal said, they have not trailed in 120 minutes in this SEC tournament, and now they get Arkansas. Could this be a look-ahead spot for the Hogs to the championship game against Florida? They'll know by the time they tip off who they're going to play later. They got absolutely crushed by 30 when they played in the O-Dome against the Gators. It's 9.5 or pass for me. Right now it's a pass. I'll think about this game more. I may have a play on it, but I don't have anything at this time. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to enjoy Houston and Arizona this afternoon. Looking forward to that. Arizona really impressed me with what they did in Houston earlier in the year and how they defensively shut down the Cougars. Now, remember, the Wildcats' one weakness, they're great on the boards. They've got a lot of grit. They've got guys that can hit threes. They don't like to defend the three-point line. I don't think Houston beats you shooting threes today here. So I lean Arizona 2.5. UConn, St. John's. I know St. John's has to remember what happened in that game in UConn where they got beat by 30. I'm going to take plus 3 here on a half-unit play with the Johnnies in a revenge spot and how badly Pitino wants to dog Hurley here and beat him 2 out of 3 and win this conference championship. I'm still not sure how strong Duke is with the injuries right now, but I'm not going to get bit twice taking Virginia against them. I lost my money doing that the first time this year. So we'll pass. So my plays today in college basketball, we're going to take Wisconsin plus 12 against Michigan in the first semifinal. UCLA plus 7.5 against Purdue in the second Big Ten semifinal. And we're going to take a half-unit play, St. John's plus 3 against UConn in the Big East final. So 3 college basketball plays today, 2.5 units total. All right, let's get to the ice. A fun card today. It kicks off at 10:07 with or noon in Chicago with the Ducks, who are in a shot. They have a shot here to win the West. Now, to win the Pacific Division. Now, I did not envision that, and I bet Joel Quenneville for Coach of the Year preseason. I bet the Ducks to make the playoffs. They were 3-1 to make the playoffs before the year started, and I threw a little pizza money at 100-1 to win the Cup. We said this Pacific Division is not good. All of the strength in the West, in fact, in the whole NHL, lies in the Central Division. The three best teams in all of hockey are Colorado, Dallas, and Minnesota, and it's really hard to separate the three of them. But in the Pacific Division, with just a few weeks left, most teams have 16, 17, or 18 games left. The Anaheim Ducks, with a game in hand over VGK and 2 in hand over Edmonton, lead the Pacific Division with 75 points. It's pretty amazing. Now, 75-74 for VGK and 73 for Edmonton, and then the Kings back at 69. But Anaheim has a real shot, even though this team plays no defense in front of Lucas Dostal, to win this division. So back to the lesson at hand here, betting today's NHL hockey card. Ducks kick off at Ottawa here. Senators plus or minus 165 in this game. I played over here, as I talked about, no defense for the Ducks. And Ottawa still has not gotten the best goaltending as well. So we played over 6.5 in this game. Best price in the market on this is minus 103, over 6.5 here. Next game on the card today, Boston at Washington. Could be a good defensive hockey game. We saw the Kings in Boston. I think there were only 38 shots on goal between the two teams in that game. What was it, on Tuesday night? A very defensive-minded game. I look at this game as the same way. Now, Boston going on the road to play at Washington. Is this is going to be a tight-checking, lower-scoring game? We're going to play under 6 flat here, even money, under 6 flat. Colorado at Winnipeg. Winnipeg is an interesting story because on this homestand, they've been able to get themselves back into relevance in the race to get a wild card spot here. In the West. I had them written off for dead. Right now, the Kings are the second wild card in the West with 69 points. Winnipeg has 62. So they're 7 out, and they have to jump 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams. They don't have much room to give up points in these games, but they have played better since Hellebuyck had the tremendous Olympic performance. Colorado, this could be a flat spot for them in the schedule where they've been playing all these rivals. They've been playing Dallas, play Minnesota, the two teams that are chasing them in this race. When I looked at their two-week schedule, I said this could very well be a very flat spot for Colorado. They're getting they're laying 190 on the road in this spot. I was looking to catch Winnipeg plus a goal and a half if I could get it around $1.45. Unfortunately, best price I see is $1.55. So let's monitor that market. If we see money come in on Colorado, perhaps we look at Winnipeg on the puck line. I'll tell you a puck line bet I am going to make. I'm going to play the Minnesota Wild today at home. This game goes this evening, 5:07 local time and in Chicago, against the New York Rangers. And although the Rangers have been a better team on the road than they have been at home, this Minnesota team will look to avenge a very poor performance they had. When you look at how they played this week, the Wild, they played one of their best games of the year against the Mammoth on Tuesday and beat the Mammoth 5-0. Then they came back on Thursday and lost to the bottom feeding Flyers in a shootout 3-2. They were just totally flat against the Flyers. So look for John Hines to light a fire under the Wild today at home. We'll lay the puck and a half in this game against the Rangers. And that best price in market right now is +115. Wild minus a puck and a half, +115. I thought the Islanders were dreadful for the first 30 minutes of that game last night against the Kings. They came back and they made it a game. Now the back-to-back tonight, they get the Flames coming into town. You won't get Sorokin. So I think this is a spot to play the Flames +130 on the road. Should be a high-scoring game in Montreal tonight between the San Jose Sharks and the Montreal Canadiens. This San Jose team comes at you from the jump. I like playing their first period overs sometimes more than I like playing their game over. 6.5 is the over for the game tonight. Too heavy of a price in the first period, -155 over a puck and a half. So we'll play over 6.5 total for the game. -120 best price in Illinois right now as I look at the 9 different books. At Montreal, that game will go at 6:07 Chicago time. We saw the news yesterday. Austin Matthews is out for the rest of the season for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Of course, the captain of the American team that won gold. It's a really strange story, and we've talked about it on this show, how much vitriol amongst the Maple Leafs fans there was for Austin Matthews because he had gone, you know, that the U.S. team got back, they came through Miami, and then he went to Washington, D.C. on that Tuesday night for Trump's State of the Union address, then to Toronto. He played on Wednesday. He played their first game back. All the Golden Knights were on with Scott Van Pelt interviewing in between periods. None of the Knights Olympics player had even played that first game back against the Kings, but there were articles in newspapers, editorials, take the captaincy away from him. He turned his back on the Maple Leafs. He turned his back on Toronto. He turned his back on Canada. He chose politics. He told Trump. I don't know what his future can be in that kind of an atmosphere, but we now know that he won't be playing another game this year for the Maple Leafs, and maybe he's done altogether. The Sabres, who've been the most interesting story in hockey, host their rivals, the Maple Leafs, this afternoon, 6 o'clock Chicago time, 7 o'clock Eastern. Huge price here, -235, too much for me. Kings stay in New York. They took on the Islanders last night. They'll take on the New Jersey Devils tonight. So you won't get Kemper, so it's a pass for me. I'm not going to play the Kings without Kemper in net. A very, very interesting game in the East and probably the game of the day. The Carolina Hurricanes are going to take on the Tampa Bay Lightning in Tampa Bay. This should be could be a heck of an Eastern Conference Finals preview. I do think the Hurricanes obviously will win their division and get the one seed. Tampa Bay has to try to hold off Buffalo. In an atmosphere like this, with a playoff-like atmosphere, I like to play the first period under, and that's what we're going to do in this game. That is under 1.5 +110. If you remember, 2 weeks ago, these teams played in Raleigh. Carolina got a 3-0 lead, jumped right on top of Tampa Bay. Tampa was off a back-to-back. 3-0 lead. Tampa came back and tied it 3-3. It went 4-3 Carolina. Tampa tied it again and had a power play at 4-4 in the third. Didn't convert. and the Hurricanes went on and scored the goal and won that game. So under 1.5, plus 110 first period, Carolina Hurricanes at the Tampa Bay Lightning. The Dallas Stars have earned points in 14 consecutive games. Now, remember, I made a bet at plus 140 the Stars would lose in the first round of the playoffs. It means I think that they will be taking on Minnesota. Now, that could change. One of those two teams could catch Colorado. And if Dallas caught Colorado, you know, that's worse for me because then they would be playing a wild card. If Minnesota catches Colorado, I'm okay because then Dallas will have to play Colorado. But meanwhile, quietly, the Stars have racked up points in 14 straight. They're going to be taking on the Red Wings in Dallas, $1.80, a pretty heavy price here in that game. I would be interested in laying $1.55 or less, not available right now. The Penguins and all their injuries are in Utah to take on the Mammoth. This is an over game for me, over 6 in this spot. Minus 110, best price in the market. And what should be an interesting game, we'll see how the Penguins' legs are at elevation with a short bench against the Mammoth. Kraken have to take advantage of these opportunities in their push for the playoffs. They're taking on Vancouver, who have, you know, they came back and beat the Predators after being down 3-1 the other night. But it's just been a really tough long season and a tough locker room situation after they traded Hughes to Minnesota. Kraken need to win in these games. The cord's been terrific. We'll lay 130 tonight with the Seattle Kraken. And then, of course, the game that everybody in Chicago, all the alumni are here for, it's the Blackhawks at the Golden Knights. Golden Knights are a 240 favorite. Let's play the Blackhawks here. You can get plus $2 in the marketplace and cheer on the Hawks. It's always a special trip, and they've upset Vegas 2 out of the last 3 times that they've played here at T-Mobile Arena. Special thanks to Amal Shah. He was terrific today, breaking down all the college basketball. We will know the tournament feel. Heck, we will be down next time I talk to you. We will be down to 32 teams in the NCAA tournament. Stay tuned for Inside the Clubhouse with David Haugh and Bruce Levine. They'll talk to Matthew Boyd at 10:30, and we'll talk to you next Saturday morning here on The Score.